Heavenly Father, thank you for how you do address these big issues that we face in life in your word. And as we think about suffering in particular today, we pray for Tom that you would help him to speak clearly. We also pray, Heavenly Father, that we would listen carefully as well to your word today. And we pray that we would be encouraged by what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Psalm 22, here we go. To the choir master, according to the Doe of the Dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over, over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. And the Mark passage?
Great, thank you. So it's Mark 15, verse 16 to 39.
Do you want me to read that?
Yeah, would you mind, please?
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Mark 15, 16 to 39. And the soldiers led him, that's Jesus, away inside the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him, they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing it said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." Yeah. Over to you, Tom.
Super. Thanks very much, Mark. Hi guys, my name's Tom. As I mentioned earlier, I work near Moorgate as an engineer. It'd be really great this afternoon if you can keep that psalm open that we had, that psalm, Psalm 22. Keep that open, and also in the Mark passage, but I'll mention that when we get there. So I'd like to start this afternoon by thinking, where do we find hope in a coronavirus world? How do we respond to suffering? At the moment, we're, of course, very aware of real suffering, both worldwide and close to home. Many of us here will have been personally affected by the current crisis. And we've suddenly been reminded of how mortal and how frail we are. Having a job in the city and a big house in the country doesn't mean security anymore. In our psalm today, Psalm 22, King David is experiencing real suffering, which he graphically describes for us. But through his suffering, King David trusts God to rescue those who call on him. So there isn't much for a handout. We've only got 3 points. But our first point, if you're taking notes, the trusting king. So David was king of Israel. He's the long-awaited king who'd been promised by God. And he was anointed by Samuel on God's instruction. In the book of Samuel, he's described as being ruddy with beautiful eyes and handsome. He was also a successful military leader. Humanly speaking, David was outstanding. But here he is in real suffering. Look with me at verse 1. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning?" We aren't told in the psalm what David is experiencing as he writes this, but I don't think it really matters. What's clear is that it's real, it's agonizing, and it's defeating. Yet all through the psalm, what David is experiencing, as David is experiencing this, he still trusts God. David trusts God to rescue him and all those who call on the Lord. But you could say, David did die. He isn't here today. If you wanted, you could visit his grave next week, if you knew where it was. But yet, as he writes, David trusts in God to rescue him. So look with me at verses 1 to 18. David trusts God in suffering because of God's past faithfulness. In verses 1 and 2, David cries to God, but God seems distant. He's not rescuing David. David cries by day, but he hears no answer. But in verse 3, David remembers God's faithfulness in the past. He says, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them." David calls to mind God's character and what he knows of God's faithfulness in the past. While God seems distant to him at the moment, he knows and trusts that God will deliver his people. As well as being deserted by God, in verses 6 to 9, David is despised by the people. They mock him for his trust in the Lord and ridicule him for delighting in God. And yet still, David trusts in God. Look at verses 9 to 11. He trusts God as the creator who took him from the womb. he says, "You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God." Again, David calls on God's faithfulness and character. He remembers God as the creator who brought him to life, and on whom he has trusted his whole life so far. But things go from bad to worse for David, and he seems utterly defeated. Look at the language he uses in verse 14. "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death." David is forsaken by God, scorned by men, and finally defeated. And yet through all of this, David trusts God to save him. In the midst of real agonizing suffering, David trusts God. David trusts the God who created him. And then verses 19 to 21, I think represent a bit of change of tack from David. In this part of the psalm, he now praises God, saying, "In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him." But how is David able to say this when only a few verses earlier, his strength was dried up and he was laying in the dust of death? What is the basis for David's hope? I think the key is in verse 24. He says, "God has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him." David trusts God because he knows that God hears the cry of the afflicted and has not hidden his face from him. Even in the midst of his suffering, King David trusts God to deliver him. And then finally, the psalm closes with David extolling the reader. "They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it." This King David trusts God in the face of suffering. He puts his hope in God's faithfulness in the past and his future salvation. But what is the basis of this future hope? Our second point, let's consider the true king. So that's the true king, if you're taking notes. So the context in the book of Psalms tells us that this afflicted one, in verse 24, is God's Messiah, his son. I flick ahead to the New Testament, and King Jesus identifies himself as the true king, who is despised and afflicted. So if you think back to the passage that Mark read from Mark's Gospel, Mark's Gospel is one of the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life. And in chapter 15, it describes his death. Look at the detail in the Mark passage, and it's clear that Jesus is alluding to Psalm 22. So verse 24, "And they crucified him, piercing his hands and his feet. They divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide which each should take. Those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads." And finally, in verse 34, as Jesus dies, he quotes the psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And what is true of David in Psalm 22 is true of the Lord Jesus and ultimately fulfilled in him. When David writes of his own experience, he is also writing of what will happen to God's Messiah. Now, we know this is the case because Jesus himself said so. You might know the passage at the end of Luke's Gospel when Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says that everything written about him in the law of Moses, which is the first five books of the Bible, the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled, and that it is written that the Christ, the King, the Messiah, must suffer. Jesus expects us to read the Psalms and recognize him, the Messiah, in them. The Psalms are primarily about Jesus. And this psalm foretold the suffering of God's Messiah. On the cross, Jesus cries, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God the Son is deserted by God the Father. He is mocked by all who see him. They hurl insults, wagging their heads. A company of evildoers encircles him. They pierce his hands and his feet. In the Mark passage in verse 31, they jeer. He saved others, he cannot save himself. Finally, he looks defeated. Now, the awful irony of the cross is that Jesus could have saved himself. Jesus could have come down from the cross and chosen not to die. But he chose not to. Jesus, the Son of God, was scorned by mankind and despised by the people. He was poured out like water, and all his bones were out of joint. But it was to save these very same people that Jesus endured the suffering of the cross. Now remember back to the psalm, the basis for David's hope in the face of suffering. Verse 24, he, God, has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. The afflicted here is the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus' death on the cross served as his coronation, confirming his identity as the king after David, by whom God's salvation comes. And it's because of Jesus that David trusts God to rescue those who call on him. David's hope for future salvation comes from Jesus' death on the cross. He's writing 1,000 years before Jesus' birth, but still God had a plan to save those who would trust in him. Jesus could have saved himself, but he chose to be forsaken, despised, and mocked to rescue all those who trust in him. And David, 1,000 years earlier, is so certain of this that in verse 31, he can already say, he, that's Jesus, has done it. So we've seen David, the trusting king, Jesus, the true king, and now finally, our third point, the triumphant king. And that's because Jesus' death brought salvation for all who will trust in him. We see from the psalm and the gospels tell us that death could not hold Jesus. He's risen, vindicated, and sitting in glory. This is why David praises him, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. That's verse 22. Those who mocked and scorned him did not have the last laugh. Jesus was not defeated by death, but Jesus defeated death. And so David was right to trust in the Lord and in his Messiah. Verse 24, speaking of Jesus, David says, he, God, has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. God heard Jesus' cry and raised him from the dead. The rest of the Psalms sings praises to the Lord for accomplishing his plan. Because God's Messiah, the afflicted one at verse 24, was raised from the dead, David now praises him. The true king is vindicated and reigns over all. Jesus' death on the cross was not a mistake. It was not out of God's control, but it was part of God's plan. In verse 26, the afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. The future hope is greater than just continued life. It is a promise of eternal, satisfying life with our Creator God. And this offer extends to all. No one is excluded. Anyone who seeks the Lord and trusts in him can share in this wonderful offer of salvation. For it was Jesus' suffering and death that saved David and all those who trust in him. Where on the cross Jesus was derided and ridiculed, he's now king of the whole world. On the cross, Jesus triumphed over death and is now risen in glory. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All families of the nations shall worship before you, for kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Jesus' suffering and death are the reason David can trust God in the face of death. Jesus' resurrection and rule are the reason David praises him now. David recognises the magnitude of what God is doing. He died knowing that Jesus' death brought eternal life for those who trust in him. God is offering salvation and eternal life to all who will trust in him. And I think that deserves praise and glory. Jesus isn't only raised from the dead, he's elevated to a position of complete authority over all. Look for me at verses 27 to 31 and try to think of any human being who doesn't fit that description. All the ends of the earth, all the nations, the prosperous, there might be those who work in the City of London, those who have died, and those who have not yet been born. The risen Jesus' rule extends to every corner of the globe and over all millennia. So what's the right response to Jesus? Well, I think the right response to King Jesus is to praise and worship him. In the Lord Jesus, we find a king who suffered being forsaken by God. He was rejected and mocked by his people and defeated in a cruel death on a cross in order to save the same people who despised him. The sobering truth for us is that we also reject him. If we had been there in verses 6 and 7, then verses 6 and 7 of the psalm would be true of us too. But what a wonderful king we have to follow. Because of Jesus' suffering and death, all those who trust in him can be certain of future resurrection. Now, if you're here today and you maybe wouldn't call yourself a Christian, can I invite you to consider the Lord Jesus and the salvation that he offers? Suffering is a real thing that we all face, and if we trust in him, then we can have certainty in it, like David. But only by trusting Jesus can we be satisfied and live eternally with him. For all of us here, David shows us what it means, that Jesus has defeated death and is ruling over the nations. We can trust God to deliver us. We can join with David in praising him. We can tell of his name to our brothers, to those around us. King Jesus is the triumphant ruler over all, even if it doesn't always look like it. One day, all people from all nations will bow to the Lord Jesus. Yet this same king gave himself on the cross in a humiliating death for us, so that we can have hope in the face of death. We can't look at that and not be amazed by Jesus. On the cross, he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He was forsaken by God so that we can say with David that he has done it. I think it'd be good now to pray together. So let me pray. Lord God, we thank and praise you that you are faithful and deliver your people. Thank you for the psalm we have just read and for all that it shows us about you and your salvation. Thank you that Jesus suffered and died so that we can be saved. Please help us to really understand the magnitude of what you did on the cross, to believe in the Lord Jesus and to praise you like David did. Please help us to trust you and to trust in your salvation, even in the face of real suffering, real despair in the current climate. And we thank you so much that you are faithful and that we can trust in you. Amen.